I'd like to refer tonight to four scriptures, and the first is in the Gospel of John,
chapter 21 and verse 15. When therefore they had dined, Jesus says to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" He says to him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I'm attached to thee." He says to him, "Feed my lambs." He says to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" He says to him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I'm attached to thee." He says to him, "Shepherd my sheep." He says to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, art thou attached to me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Art thou attached to me?" And said to him, "Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I'm attached to thee." Jesus says to him, "Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say to thee, when thou art young, thou goest thyself, and walkest where thou desirest, but when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hand, and another shall gird thee, and bring thee where thou dost not desire." He said this, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And having said this, he says to him, "Follow me." Peter, turning around, sees the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also leaned that supper on his breast, and said, "Lord, who is it that delivers thee up?" Peter, seeing him, says to Jesus, "Lord, and what of this man?" Jesus says to him, "If I will that he abide until I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." And then the book of Daniel, chapter 1, that's page 1062 in my Bible. And verse 3, "And the king spoke unto Ashpenaz the king, the chief of his eunuchs, that he should bring the children of Israel, both of the royal seed and of the nobles, youths in whom was no blemish, and a goodly countenance, and skillful in all wisdom, and acquainted with knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and language, the Chaldeans. And the king appointed unto them daily provision of the king's delicate food, and of the wine that he drank, to nourish them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And the king of the eunuchs gave them names. Daniel gave them the name Belshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and Azariah, Abednego. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not pollute himself with the king's delicate food, nor with the wine which he drank. And he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not have to pollute himself. And God granted Daniel favour and mercy before the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, "I fear, my lord, the king who hath appointed your food and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the youths who are of your age? And you would endanger my head with the king." And Daniel said to the steward, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat, and water to drink, then let our countenances be looked upon before thee." And the countenance of the youths that eat of the king's delicate food, and as thou shalt see, deal with thy servants. And he hearkened unto them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and were fatter in flesh than all the youths that ate of the king's delicate food. So the steward took away the delicate food and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. And then just in the Acts of the Apostles, in chapter 11 and verse 19, "They then who had been scattered abroad through the tribulation that took place on the occasion of Stephen passed through the country to Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one but to Jews alone. But there were certain of them, Cyprians and Cyrenians, who entering into Antioch spoke to the Greeks also, announcing the glad tidings of the Lord Jesus. And the Lord's hand was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. And the report concerning them reached the ears of the assembly, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go through as far as Antioch, who, having arrived and seen the grace of God, rejoiced, and exalted all with purpose of heart to abide with the Lord, for he was a good man, and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a large crowd of people were added to the Lord. He went to Tarsus to seek out Saul, and having found him, he brought him to Antioch. And so it was with them that for a whole year they were gathered together in the assembly and taught a large crowd, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch." And then finally, just a few verses. In the beginning of the Epistle to the Philippians, chapter 1, page 1417, Verse 3, I thank my God for my whole remembrance of you, constantly in my every supplication, making a supplication for you all with joy because of your fellowship with the gospel from the first day until now, having confidence of this very thing, that he who has begun in you a good work will complete it unto Jesus Christ's day. I don't know if you have ever sung a hymn and got to the end and wondered what you were singing. Forgot everything that you sang, just like the music and the sound. You got to the end and you thought, oh, I wonder what I've been singing. Well, maybe I'm the only one in the room that's been like that. I sang a hymn the other day with others in the meeting I come from up in Birmingham. And sung the hymn, and it was only a few days afterwards I thought about the words came to me. Oh Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. John Bowes, who wrote that in 1869, wrote it for his children. For those of you who are younger here tonight, I just want to say this to you. Your parents might want you to do well in your exams. They might want you to get a good job. They might want you to, you know, get a nice place to live. Might even hope you get married or something. The one thing they want, more than anything, if you've got Christian parents, is that you commit yourself to the Lord Jesus. And you do so with purpose of heart. And that is what I want to speak with the Lord's help about for a few minutes tonight. So it's a matter of heart, you see, purpose of heart. What your bearing is going to be in your life. What you're going to commit yourself to. He's not here tonight, so I can say a few words about him, but I dropped my son off. Well, Anthony, I dropped my son off soon. Big thing as a parent to look after your child until they're 18. And he's away, he's 100 miles away from home to study. And, you know, I spoke to him and his mother spoke to him about the important things in life. What are the important things in life? Not you're going to go and have a good time or study hard, but you should be rooted in your faith. You know, he's in digs with four other lads. And 3 or 4 days in, he rings up and says, Mum, one of these lads is on drugs. So how is Sam going to survive 3-4 years in that environment? The answer is purpose of heart, commitment to the Lord Jesus. To be committed to him in your heart. Not in your head, because what's in your head, what your parents have told you, what you've learnt up, are the scriptures, precious things that you've got in your mind. But your heart is where the precious things are kept, your affections. The first scripture I read tonight speaks about that. It speaks about your love for the Lord, and everything flows from that. Why should I love Jesus? He might have said, living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day is coming, a glorious day. Oh, that's the gospel. That's our Saviour. In just a few words. Love the Lord Jesus because he's rescued me. He saved me. He saved me from certain judgment. The Thessalonians, so long ago, they turned to God to serve the living and true God and to wait his Son from the heavens, Jesus, our deliverer from the coming wrath. One sense, love the Lord because he saved me, he rescued me. And then there's
There's present salvation. There's salvation every day that causes you to just rejoice in him. This week, and I just say it because it's fresh in my mind, yesterday I had to go up to London to meet a customer or customers with the board of a company. They come from the other side of the world. They were furious. I was asked to go down to meet them. And I prayed, I thought, Lord, I've got this thing to do on Saturday. I don't really want to go. Maybe someone else can go. But there was no escape. I had to go. Now, these 13 people there, upset. The issue's been in the newspaper. They have a right to be upset. And I sat there and I prayed as I got on the underground and I prayed that God went to meet it. And you know, at the end of the meeting, the man in charge of the board said, "How are you holding up under the pressure?" And of course the answer is, it's not me or the others, it's the power of Jesus. I got out and I thanked the Lord in the underground. You know, you can thank the Lord, the young people, you can thank the Lord anywhere. You don't have to wait until you're in a particular situation or praying together with others. You can thank and glorify his name anywhere. He's a wonderful saviour. Everyday saviour. Everyone in this room will have their own story, even of the past week. I trust you do. Of how the Lord has come in for you and blessed you and rescued you and protected you and saved you and shepherded you and guided you and spoken to you. I trust you can say something about Jesus. Tomorrow some of us will get together and remember him, and from our hearts we'll be able to express what's in our hearts about what he's done and how great he is, how feeble I speak of him. It's a wonderful thing to think about the spring of purpose of heart is love for the Lord Jesus. Peter here was asked a question. He was asked three times. Now, we know that Peter denied the Lord three times. And maybe in this room tonight, maybe you've denied the Lord. Someone's given the opportunity to, you know, you may not have said, done what Peter did and cursed and to swear, but there was an opportunity to say that you were a believer in Jesus or a Christian, and you stayed silent. I've done that. But you know, if anyone's feeling a failure in here tonight, it's a wonderful encouragement that the Lord Jesus took up Peter, not to make him feel miserable, not to belittle him, but rather to set him on his way with purpose of heart, to serve him. And that's what Peter did for the remainder of his life. And so he challenged him, "Lovest thou me?" And he asked him three times. And ultimately, Peter was put out, wasn't he? He was grieved. If the Lord asked you tonight three times, would you be grieved? Would you be grieved? And would you like Peter to be able to say, "Lord, you know I'm attached to you. You know that." Peter was asked three times. He denied the Lord three times. Peter in his life, he loved the Lord. And the Lord was in those 3 years, he loved the Lord. But he relied on his own strength. And he found he was not equal to a situation. And dear friends, you won't if you do things in your own strength. You may set out with a good purpose, and then you'll find yourself in a situation you're not equal to. I'll cry to you tonight. If you set out with purpose of heart, you need to keep the Lord, follow the Lord, and keep him close. Now, how do I do that? I read his word, I pray to him, I keep the company of those that love him, I talk about him, I talk to him every day. Those are the things that will keep you in the compass directed in the right way. And the Lord asked him, he said, "You know, do you love me? Do you love the Lord Jesus?" If you ask that question, you'll be able to say, "Lord, you know, thou knowest I am attached to thee." Peter was challenged. And I'm not here to challenge you tonight. The Lord can speak to each one of us directly. The Lord is here to, he's in heaven, but he challenged us about our depth and our love and our sincerity. And he challenged me first, not anyone here, challenged me first. "Lovest thou me?" He asked him, first of all, "Lovest thou me more than these?" believers down the years have speculated exactly what did he mean. Did he mean Peter, do you love me more than the other disciples? Was Peter sort of indicated that that was a challenge? Or maybe it was more than the fish, maybe it was his job. That's a challenge as well. What do you set your heart on? Your career, your progress, what you'll do one day? Lovest thou me more than these? I trust this challenge to me, and maybe to someone here. I bring home the question, do you love the Lord Jesus? You say, yes, the Lord didn't say, have you got faith in me, or are you going to follow me, and so on. Lovest thou me. Love is the spring of everything in Christianity. The Lord Jesus came to show God's love, because God so loved the world. He sent his only son, he sent the son of his love. He said that the matter of the gospel, the cross, is where God's love was revealed. And the response of that from the heart is to want to, even in a small way, to, with purpose of heart, set out to follow him and to serve him. Now Peter at the end said, but now Lord, what of this man? You know, the message is intensely personal. We might think, well, I'm going to look at someone else. You know, well, what about John? How's he getting on? Dear friend and fellow believer, the message is to us individually. We can't, with purpose of heart, go along and be carried along by someone else and someone else's faith. We have to be rooted in our own precious link with the Saviour. And you know, there might be moments, as John found in his life, where he was all on his own. There was no Peter. James had been martyred. A moment in his life, he was all on his own. And you find that in the book of Revelation. So, don't worry about others. Through wonderful grace, we're set together, and we'll come on to that. Lovest thou me? It's a personal question. What's in your heart for the Saviour? If you say, sometimes, you know, as Christians, we can get perhaps a little hard or disappointed in life. The Lord seems distant. Peter found that when he failed, the Lord was only a look away. Lord Jesus is there with us all the days. That's his promise. The promises of Jesus are absolute. You can absolutely rely on them, and they're unshakable, and they're eternal. Praise be his name. So that, I wanted to just speak a little bit about Daniel and his friends. So Daniel, this might be a very familiar scripture. But think what happened to these young men. These young men, they were taken away from their land. He should bring of the children of Israel. They were taken away. They were got to speak a new language, eat different food. And then these people tried to take away their name and give them new names. Now these four young men, as many will know in this room, each one of their names has the name of God in it. And their names mean God is my judge. That's what Daniel means. The Lord is gracious. That's what Hananiah, who is like the Lord, and the Lord is my helper. The Lord's name, God's name, was in each one of their names. And this brought into a different land where all of those things that meant who they were was going to be challenged and tried to be taken away from them. Dear young Christian friend, the world will try and take anything away from you that is anything to do with Christianity and the Saviour. Be on your guard. Your name, your language, everything. And it might not be the challenge of food, because the food was, you might say, it's a bit strange. Why couldn't they eat this nice food? Because it was associated with idolatry. It was associated with what was entirely wrong. And Daniel purposed in his heart. He purposed. He decided. He decided that what God asked, God is my judge. What God's standard was he was committed to. He was absolutely committed to. And he wasn't going to be shaken in it. And he made this request. And you know, I would trust that you might be able to stand for the Lord Jesus and stand for him in a day, in a declining day, in a difficult, dark day. You know, yesterday my niece had a child, and I thought, what's it going to be like for that child growing up in this world? Well, the wonderful thing is, the Lord Jesus is able. He's been able through 2,000 years, and surely he's able to keep his people till he comes. But the Lord speaks to us through the scriptures. Things don't just happen. We're spoken to as responsible people. So you've got to decide. I've got to decide. Am I going to be committed to him? God is my judge. That's what Daniel's name means. And of course, what he did, he had absolute faith in God. And what happened was, he, as we read, they were given these pulses, these vegetables, and actually God honoured their faith. And dear friend, God will honour your faith. God will honour a commitment to him. He absolutely will. And that's what he, there was this matter of proving. Do you think they were anxious during those 10 days? I think they were absolutely certain about the God in whom they trusted. And they proved it. And you know, thereafter, the test of these four young men, they weren't the same test. Three of them had to go through the fire, one of them had to go through the den of lions. The test in your life and my life will not be necessarily the same. They'll be different. God might take you a different way to prove his work. Peter speaks of it, the proving of your faith, much more precious than gold which perishes. That God delights to prove his work. Painful sometimes going through it. Many in this room have proved that. Painful. I proved it. Painful. Testing your family. Painful. God is equal to the situation. Young, dear young believer, do not lose your faith and trust in God. He's almighty. He's overall. He's committed everything into the hands of the Son. How trustworthy Jesus is. The one by whom also he made the world. How great Jesus is. How secure we are in the hands of the Saviour. These young men, they were given a test. And through God's grace, they were given the strength to get through. Because God honoured them. These things are not done in your own strength. They're not like a New Year's resolution where you think, well, I'm gonna do some things with God now. No, dear friend, this comes from prayer, from trust, from commitment, from being grounded in God's word, in God's promises, because they're unchangeable. And they're not going to change, despite what men might say. They're not going to change. And so Daniel and these three young men, they honoured God, and God honoured them. God honoured their commitment. May you be grounded in your confidence in God. God is my judge. Not to punish you, but God sees what happens. The eyes of the Lord, that it says in the scripture, rove to and fro, beholding the evil and the good. God sees what goes on in your heart. He sees even the smallest commitment towards him. And he will honour that. The smallest movement, the smallest thing, the thing that other people can't see, this is public and recorded for us. But most challenges for a Christian are hidden. Christian's life, my brother said in our meeting, is like an iceberg. There's a bit you can see and there's a whole lot you can't. And your life is hidden in the Christ. It's hidden. Most people can't see it, your daily walk. But honour God in secret. And God will honour you. God will see to you. See to it. You're given the strength to get through. I've spoken about the start, which is to have your affection set right. And I've spoken just briefly about some who were tested. And individually, they were tested. They had to have their own personal commitment. And I wanted to just speak about Barnabas, because, you see, he was someone who, in the Acts, someone who was really the opposite of what happened to these. He was given another name by the apostles. And he was given a name which means son of consolation. And you'll find that in the beginning of the Acts. And sometimes that's rendered in other translations of son of encouragement. What man he was. His Christianity was practical. He'd give up some stuff because, you know, he was someone who the change in his life gave practical expression. And as Christians, we're challenged, aren't we? What's the evidence in our life that God is working in our lives? There was evidence in Barnabas' life, because it tells us here in the scripture that he was, it tells us here that he was a man full, a good man, and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. He saw the work of God and he rejoiced. You know, that's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing when you find someone who's come to the Lord for the first time. You see the joy in their heart and their expression of it. And you rejoice in it. And when you hear about God's work in other nations and other lands, you rejoice in it. I love that there might be more answering in Britain, the country in which I was born. There might be a turning away. And that my heart might be more given to speak to others, like Barnabas and Paul. But Barnabas, he rejoiced. He rejoiced that despite the scattering, the efforts of Satan, that there was an answer. And what he did is he rejoiced and exalted all with purpose of heart to abide with the Lord. Purpose of heart. Those words again. And to abide with the Lord. The word abide, we don't use the word abide every day of our lives, do we? To abide, to keep, to stay, to be consistent, you know, to one day after another be the same. These are challenges to us. I don't speak as set myself any different to anyone else. They're challenges. But the Christian life is one of sometimes ups and downs. But you're born with purpose of heart to abide with the Lord. You know, I wrote down this image, I can't remember the rest of it, but it said, "No, Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end." And I thought, well, is that a promise? But no, it's actually a prayer. "Be thou forever near me, my master and my friend. I shall not fear the battle if thou art by my side, nor wander from the pathway if thou wilt be my guide." Purpose of heart, abiding in the Lord. So I just encourage us tonight that they're encouraged to stay, be consistent, day after day. You know, your life as a believer is watched by other people. They look to see if you're consistent. They look to see if the hope that you speak of or might speak of to others, or does it colour your life? Are you consistent day after day after day? Purpose of heart, abide with the Lord. That's where the strength comes from. That's where the source of love is. And that's where the power is to live a different life. And it says at the end that they were first called Christians in Antioch. And I used to read that and think, well, that's a wonderful thing. They were called Christians. Actually, they were called Christians. That was... they weren't admired, but in some ways they were despised. I read somewhere that, you know, today, 1 in 12 Christians is persecuted somewhere in the world. Now, I don't know whether it's 1 in 12, but it's a sobering number. But there are Christians in Pakistan, Iraq, Saudi, North Korea. You suffer, even in South America, from drug dealers that, being a Christian, might bring you under the sway of evil men. I first called Christians in Antioch. I thought a lot about the Iraqi Christians and the company I've come from in Worley. Consistently, younger brethren, older brethren, pray for the Christians in the Middle East, that they might be sustained in their faith. Mm. You know, when ISIS invaded and took over parts of northern Iraq, and especially around the ancient city of Mosul. And Mosul, as some of you know, is on the site of Nineveh, which is where Jonah went and preached the gospel. One man to a word of God to a city, and they repented. It's the power of God through one individual. But the Christians there, these ISIS people, put on their doors the Arabic letter N, Nun. N, the Nazarene. Jesus is rejected. The Lord Jesus is rejected in the world. And of course that meant there was fear for their lives. And you know, in the midst of all that, some of you may have seen it, a young girl called Marianne, 11-year-old girl, and she forced out of her home, and she was asked whether she would hit her. And she said this amazing thing, I wrote it down, she said, Jesus said, don't be afraid, I'm with you. He also said, forgive others, I forgive ISIL. And you see the brutality of these people. You think of a child taken out of her home and taken from her friends. And you think of how the Spirit of God could work even in a child to show the grace of God and the love of God in such an evil situation. And it takes your mind back to the little maid in the days of Naaman, taken from her home, not bitter, but desirous of the blessing of someone else. Oh, you know, these are challenges, but they're wonderful. The power and grace of God has spoken to a child. Now think about Peter, you know. Peter, this one who denied and cursed and sworn and so on. He realised and preaching in front of the very people who crucified Jesus, the originator of life, ye slew, ye, you people here. And he thought he might be in fear of his life saying that. But he preached the most wonderful gospel of grace, pure grace. Where does the power come to do that? It comes from on high. It comes from God himself, the love of God shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. How wonderful that is. They were first called Christians in Antioch. Christians are, you know, in many parts of the world they're either persecuted. In our country, Christians are undermined by all kinds of perversions and people calling themselves Christians who say things that are wrong and false. Sound a bit true, but they're not. We have to be true to God's word and to the precious hope of the coming of the Lord. May it be bright in our hearts. May we be sure about it. May it colour our daily life. The Lord is soon coming. And what he has in mind is a wonderful hope. There's a young brother in our meeting, and he always talks about the coming of the Lord in his prayer. And I'm thinking, it's real to him. It's precious to him. Is it precious to all of us? Because if it is, then pray to the Lord that he might make it real to you. That you might long for it. That what the Lord has in mind for us is better than the best of any experience here. Because we'll see him face to face. We'll see the person that's loved us and given himself for us. And we'll be able to thank him without sin or hindrance. How wonderful that is. Give you purpose of heart. Help you through each day. Well, I'll just turn finally to Philippians. And in Philippians, you think about these believers in Philippi. Why do I think about them? Because I think they had purpose of heart as a company. They had a love for the gospel. They had a love for souls. You think how they started? That there were the women, pious women, who were praying by the river. Oh, you know, I look back, and I look back on my upbringing and meeting in London, and I think of sisters, elderly sisters in that meeting who had a profound effect on me by the way they lived their life. One particular sister, some of you remember, had a very tragic life to bring up a family on her own. But the grace of God shone out in her. And when I went up to Glasgow to study, there was an old sister there who took a well, interested in me and tried to encourage me. You know, pious women who prayed. And you think of how that assembly started. Women praying by the river. And God directed the Apostle Paul to speak to them. How wonderful that is, that That was how the assembly started. But almost as soon as they were put together, there was an attack from Satan. If you stand for the Lord, you will be attacked. The devil is as a roaring lion, goes about seeking whom he may devour. Brethren, I've seen in my own family, and many here have seen in their families, roaring lion. It's a lion. Our faith is in Jesus Christ, the one who's broken the power of death and risen, living, glorious, coming. What's the answer that Peter says? Who resists steadfast in faith? Purpose of heart. Well, the Philippians had this woman, a woman with a spirit of piety. You read about in Acts 16. And, you know, she said something that sort of sounded all right. And anyway, she went on many days, and eventually the Apostle Paul, the Holy Spirit, turned and he addressed the evil, the source of the evil. And it ended up with him and Silas being cast into prison. And through that, amazing blessing. I love to think about the jailer, a man who had purpose of heart. He didn't just rescue from taking his own life. He washed them from his stripes. There was a change right away. Christianity is practical. It's not just about receiving, but about giving. We live in such a selfish world. You think of what he did, he washed them from his stripes. What an amazing thing, the man who'd been responsible for beating them, washed them from their stripes, had them into his house. What a wonderful example he is to us. What a wonderful change in such a short period of time. So that's how the assembly started in Philippi. And here the apostle is writing from prison many years later. And he says, I thank my God for my whole remembrance of you. What a company of believers they were. Constantly my every supplication, making a supplication for you all with joy. He didn't think, well, you know, there's some Christians going on, I can forget about them. Sometimes I think I spend a lot of time for praying for things that have gone wrong. Maybe I should pray more for the things that are going well and encourage those who are going on in the truth. They might be sustained and filled with joy and helped every day. But he said, because of your fellowship with the gospel. I think the fellowship and the church in Philippi, they set their heart, purpose of heart, on the spreading of the word of God. And their desire was that others might be blessed. Their fellowship with the gospel. Now, when Peter stood up to preach, there was literally fellowship with the gospel. He stood up, he didn't stand up on his own. He stood up with the 11. He wasn't left on his own. It's a wonderful thing that we're not being left on our own. We're not being left with other believers to share the joy of the Lord together, to be able to proclaim his name with others. He stood up and preached the gospel. These, their fellowship was with the gospel. What does that mean? Well, you might be able to stand and you might be able to support someone. And over the years, I've been privileged to preach the gospel a few times. Some in here have preached the gospel many, many more times than I have. The fellowship of the gospel. We look around and you see faces filled with joy at the name of Jesus. Fellowship of the gospel. You know there's those who pray. When I came in tonight, someone said to me, I've been praying for you in the car. That's the fellowship of the gospel. Support a desire for blessing. The desire that the Lord might support those who are engaged in the work of the evangelist. And that he finally says, he who has begun in you a good work will complete it unto Jesus Christ's day. I didn't have much more to say than there is. But if you, and I speak especially to those of you young, if you set out to serve the Lord with purpose of heart, the Lord will bless you. Things may go wrong in your life, there'll be ups and downs. The Lord may test you in certain ways, but he'll keep his eye on you. And he'll be with you, because that's his promise. Make the scriptures your own. A lot of people can quote a lot of scripture. They can quote reams of scripture. But make the verses of the scripture your own. One scripture that's very precious to me, the end of Matthew's Gospel, behold, a promised the disciples, I'm with you all the days, till the completion of the age. That's a promise that comes to us. Another promise, that those thou hast given me, I've not lost one of them. You commit your life to the Lord Jesus, you're absolutely safe. I'm not speaking of that, I'm speaking of purpose of heart, day by day, that you in your life here might be honouring the Lord, and I might be, and that there might be a result. There might be a standing for Christ in the world that's rejected him. There might be honour to him and glory to him, and there might be an effect on others. There was with Barnabas. There's no doubt this long journey that began with Daniel, that God spoke to those around him. We think about Peter. What an extraordinary testament. You can never exhaust reading Peter's first preachings in the Acts. The pure grace that came from heaven through his lips. A man that was once cursed and sworn. I come back to it. If you think at some point in your life you've been a failure as a Christian, you've let the Lord down, you've done something you're embarrassed about, you know, he's a wonderful saviour. The Bible is written by, much of the Bible, many pages of the Bible, are written by one man who took someone's life, Moses, another man who took someone else's responsible for the death of a child and a man, David, and the Apostle Paul. When I'm put to death, I give my vote. It is not to glory in failure, but to glory in grace. The change in these people's lives, that they were raised up of God to proclaim his word, is an amazing grace that God has taken up. If you failed, look at these others in Scripture. They're recorded, not that we just go on and on about them, but that we realise is that God can use anyone, and he can use you, and he wants to use you. And I might just put to you, at the close of this time together, in the country in which we live, the Lord Jesus needs you to shine for him. Shine for him in your life. You'll find that he'll honour it. And you might have setbacks, you might do things that things don't quite work out as you expected. Peter's life wasn't, you know, smooth sailing after that. He made all sorts of mistakes. He didn't understand how really God's grace extended to the Gentiles. It took him a long time to realise that. He had to be adjusted about it. You'll have learning in your life. You'll have setbacks in your life. But you won't regret it. May you praise the Lord's name, not just through your mouth, but how you live your life. And may you turn to him each day and seek the help to do so, for his name's sake.
Amen. Amen.